Hey, what's up, guys? That's right, Nerd Soul here. Get ready for the podcast, breaking down what happened in your week of geek. Doesn't matter if it's movies, comic books, TV shows, we're going to get right into it. So I ain't going to waste your time. Let's do this. Adam. And if you don't remember, Adam comes from O Studios, rendered in Unity, and they're really doing this push with Neil Blomkamp, doing the design and doing the direction, and it's really coming out to be something unique and kind of eclectic. So this part, because we've already seen the first two, shows the consortium that this young lady is kind of, I guess, brought to when we come aware of her. And we're seeing these robots that we saw before released from the jail, kind of like crucified on sticks. And there's this craziness going on behind this, I guess you could say, religious leader that's saying that, you know, there's a sickness that's going on. And even the girl has it, like, you know, the, I guess the veins on her neck or whatever. And we have to get rid of the old, or we have to get back to the old ways. And, you know, technology is kind of like the devil kind of thing. And with this, it's interesting because you do have the presence of the robotic. You even have their existence due to technology, but then you have them fighting against it, which I think is a nice mesh of hypocrisy on the religious leader's end, and a nice mix of, I guess you could say, the old and the new clashing against each other for the thought process of the young lady that's in this short. And we get to see both of them kind of playing off each other, but of course the young woman wanting something from him because of course she's more like worshiping him, begging him almost to be part of his consortium, part of his, you know, agricultural, you know, landscape and community that he has built out there for himself. And this is cool. I will say this is cool. This was a very weird and slower paced episode, but I think this is cool. Once again, of course, I think that these should all be put together, but this puts a weird take on how they show, you know, the robotics in general, because after the break, we're gonna get to what I think of the actual religious leader as a whole. But of course, with taking away the old ways, with kind of healing a sickness, and I guess using the consortium to chart a new path, I think that this guy might be okay, sort of. We're not exactly sure, but of course, first we're gonna get to the next stuff, and Curobrand gonna help us pay them bills. Yeah, did you see your boy in there? Did you see him? I'm saying, did you see him? So check the link below for curobrand.com, shirts, hats, all that good stuff. Once you see something you like, cop it. Now on the back end of this short, I do like how they talk about the man being enslaved inside of this, which is probably the reason for the whole religious leader issue, and forcing her to kind of put her brother out of his misery is, you know, kind of one of those loyalty things that we see in a lot of, I guess, media, where it's like, you know, you have to kill something you love to show that you're down with us. And I guess you could say it's cliche to a certain point, but the way they frame this, it just remains in the I guess, the area of weird, where you're not sure exactly what to expect, which is a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing because, you know, you're kind of on your toes wondering, like, what's going to happen next? Who is this character? Like at the end when they show him taking his flesh off and he's a robot. But then you also have these situations where you're like, what's going to happen? I can't believe it. And, you know, he's just kind of like forcing her to kill her brother, which is something that, you know, a lot of media does, whether it's video games, whether it's movies. So it's weird where they take these cliche paths and where they deviate and things of that nature, which leaves Adam in a place where it's good, but I think it could touch another level if they really pushed for a different narrative. Right now, they're very unique and they're very eclectic as far as how they look, as far as the things that they're saying, but I'm not sure if they're pushing those storylines home exactly. Even though I'm definitely still enjoying it, I just think that they could take it a bit further. So guys, of course, holla at me, I'ma holla at you. Down in them comments, have you been watching, Adam? If you have, what do you think about episode 3? What do you think about expelling technology? What do you think about faith in evil, faith in good, faith in the system, faith in technology? Especially since we just watched Black Mirror this weekend, I'm pretty sure we all did. What do you think about those things? What do you think about robots? What do you think about the coming impending doom that is Skynet? Anyway, now let's talk about my favorite episode of Black Mirror. So if you're not up on Black Mirror, actually, I'm not exactly sure why you're even watching this episode right now. You need to pause this, watch some Black Mirror, and then come back. But Black Mirror is an anthology series similar to Twilight Zone or Tales from the Crypt or Outer Limits, something like that. But it's based more in the vein of what technology could do to us as a society. And sometimes where it goes wrong. Well, most times how it goes wrong. And this season, which is season 4, had some great bright spots, some more cool stories, some more craziness. We had stuff like USS Callister, where you see, you know, how real are digital beings. You had Archangel, which dealt with like trauma and, you know, being able to try to be a parent, but also watch your child and how far should that go? You know, you have so many crazy parts inside this, and then some bright spots like Hang the DJ, which I thought was quite cute. But let's talk about what my favorite episode was, which is, of course, Black Museum. First, I have to give props to Black Museum for being an anthology inside of an anthology, which is taking you like layers deep, son. Also, I like the way that they weaved in different threads, different particles, different products, different pieces of the stories that we've seen in the first 3 seasons, like different pieces and parts, and also showed us new things inside of the lore of Black Mirror and showing us that this is a much broader, crazy world that we're living in. The thing that really kind of like touched me is the way this story was told, because, you know, at first you're thinking that the young lady is definitely the victim. I mean, come on, man, it's dealing with technology, it's scary stuff. She's broke down in the middle of the desert. There's this Black Museum there. She's all by herself. She looks like helpless and defenseless. She's just a little wide-eyed kid or something. But they turn the tables very quick, you know, on you at the end. And I love how they navigate you through that, because she is so inquisitive, so open, and so inviting to this man who's running the Black Museum. And there is just, man, the craziness that he goes through with these stories. The story with the doctor is a very interesting story of, you know, pain and pleasure, and also dealing with that technology piece that he definitely shouldn't have had in the first place. Then you have the married couple, which really dealt with just like loss and maybe being able to save a loved one from a coma and things like that. And the thing that I liked about this is that the man that's running the Black Museum was always played kind of like a crossroads demon. You know, he was definitely played but like someone who is, you know, if this was supernatural, you know, based, he would be like that demon that makes a deal for your soul. Like the way he lures people in, the way he feeds them the story, the way he sells these products to them until something goes wrong. And then he has always this added little piece to improve it or make it better or help out just a little bit or help you cope with it. And I thought that was a nice, you know, a nice addition to his character, because he could have just been straight up evil. But you see this charismatic, sly craziness to him through the whole story. And I gotta give Black Museum some credit for that. Like, there is just so much to love about this episode. Now, what I'm really gonna get to is just like the craziness, which I hope we can get from in further seasons. But of course, before we get to that, Kuro Brand is gonna help us pay them bills. yeah. Check it. Find yourself a shirt, a hoodie, a hat, all that good stuff at the link below at curabrand.com. Once you find something you like, of course, cop it. So let's talk about this Black Museum and all of the items within. I definitely love this episode, but I would love to get maybe a couple of more episodes to see this museum in its heyday. Or maybe like a spinoff season. Like, you know, a season, like just one season of Black Museum, like maybe four episodes about the different items and him talking about the different items, because what, we got three episodes inside of one episode. So you could tell technically about 12 stories inside of that four episode arc, because Black Museum is intriguing. The items within are intriguing. And I think there's a lot of unique stories and a lot of craziness that can come out of that, especially with, man, the host of the Black Museum is just so slyly creepy that he really draws you in. But back to the episode and the last story we tell, you get to see the young man that was, of course, put to death by the chair. And that's when we get our reveal that this young lady is there for a reason. And I love how the tables were turned. I love how she played it straight all the way through. And I love how in this one, and in other episodes too, but in this episode definitely, the host got his just dessert. You know, he got what he deserved in this situation. Unfortunately, we couldn't get everyone back. And maybe there's a storyline where this young lady tracks down everyone else, which would show her turn to something maybe worse. But you get to see her even save the wife that was in the bear. You get to see her kind of like redeeming herself for her mother, who is actually inside of her head, which shows like the tie between the different storylines, the different technologies. There's just so much inventiveness inside this episode that I think that this episode really deserves some light shine right up on it. Now, as a whole, Black Mirror's finales are always fresh. Like, each finale of every year is killer. And this one is no different, man. I loved Black Museum. Probably gonna watch it again today. I cannot get enough of how they told these stories inside of this overarching story. And they did it, and they, you know, I mean, think about it. These days, a theatrical film will take 2.5 hours to tell you a story that you ain't interested in. And they took like, I don't know, like 50 minutes and told you like four stories that were all crazy, all weird, and all worked inside of one overarching story. I gotta give Black Museum its props. Anyway, of course, guys, I want to know what your favorite episode, of course, was of Black Mirror Season 4. Was it USS Callister? Was it Hang the DJ? Was it Archangel? Any of those episodes? Or, of course, Black Museum, because Black Museum is crazy dope. Talk shop. This week, we are continuing our read-along of Sanford Green's 1000. And during this read-along, we've been having prologue, issue 1, issue 2. I've been giving a lot of love to Sanford Green. Rightfully so, he's the creator, illustrator, but I forgot to give a little bit of love to, of course, Chuck Brown, who's writing this issue, you know, writing in 1000, doing his thing, especially on an issue like this, because this issue has a lot of world building. We show DC, where DC is the world capital. So shout out to the DMV area, VA, what up, two up, two down. But it shows a very interesting take on how laws are made, how our justice system is now. You know, when you have demons, you have, you know, werewolves, you have vampires and zombies and all that stuff. You know, how votes are going through, how policy is pushed, things like that, giving us a peek into the actual, you know, just the movement and the rules and the regulations of the world that we're living in, because this issue is kind of split in two. You have this one side where we're seeing the the mystical maintenance, where they're just like two guys that I guess help, you know, keep things in place when it comes to the magical, the fantastical, the mystical, the mysterious, whatever. You know, they kind of just help keep it in place and make sure nothing breaks. And they definitely kind of mess up on their job when a giant ends up not only I guess, manifesting inside of the Capitol building, but also then dying in said Capitol building and falling and crumbling everything. Now, of course, nobody wants a dead giant on their hands, but like they say themselves, they're gonna get blamed for this. But you see a very interesting cross-section between, you know, between good, between evil, between people that are just living their lives, you know, just maintenance guys, the janitors, up to, you know, dragons and gods and demons and all that mess. So it's nice to see just for a moment what the rest of the world looks like. Because in the first couple issues, we got to see this battle, I believe in New York City, where they're battling against dragons and this dragon's gone rogue and her mind's being controlled. So it's nice to step back and be like, okay, this is what the rest of the world has to deal with. Because, you know, a lot of times in stories, we might think that, hey, there's only one thing going on right now, but the rest of the world has to keep spinning. And hearing about things like lycanthropy overdoses, like divine demons and declarations and things like that, is part of world building that helps us understand and grab onto what's going on in this world and what we should expect to see in the future or with stories from the past. Now, I got a lot of cool stuff to get on with some evil kids, but of course, first, Curabrand gonna help us pay them bills. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Get yourself a shirt, a hoodie, all that jazz at the link below for curabrand.com. See something you like? Cop it. So let's get into this interesting conversation between Isaac and, of course, Tung, who I think are going to provide a lot of struggle and strife for our heroes. Because, of course, Tung, I believe, is the man that we see at the end of the last issue talking about nothing, like how this world is horrible, it's gone to pretty much shambles and crap is everywhere and, you know, good is bad and up is down and all that stuff. And he wants to burn it all. He wants to take this whole world out and crush it. And he meets up with Isaac, who apparently is taking the form of a young boy to try to hide from what the elders are. And they have an interesting conversation about taking over this world, ending this world, destroying this world, putting this world in a position to where it has to probably renew itself or reform or reboot, if you will. And when I think they mean reboot, I think they mean kill everything. And the conversation is kind of interesting because it's not like Isaac is perfectly on board once Tung comes through. Isaac's like, yo, I'm minding my business. I'm trying to chill. The elders are watching me. You know what I'm saying? They on the lookout. I'm trying to stay on the low low. And Tung is like, look, man, I'm building a team because I want to crush all this. I want to make a big move. I want to make a big push to, of course, be evil, because that's what evil people do, man. So I'm wondering how this is going to play out as far as the ancients or the elders are concerned, and also play out for the heroes. Like, is there going to be a three-way battle? Are the heroes, and of course, when I mean our heroes, I mean, like, you know, Sun and you know, all of those guys, like, you know, Shadow Boxer and all that stuff, that are kind of doing their thing in New York, or are they going to be at odds with both the elders and Tung's new crew that he's putting together? Because this could prove to be a very interesting fight. Now, with the art, of course, the art is always on point. I've been a fan of Sanford Green's for a long time. So that is not a surprise to you guys. But guys, I want you to holler at me. I'm gonna holler at you. Down in them comments, let's talk about 1000 issue 3. Let me know what you think. Are you feeling this new shadowy attack vibe? Does it seem, you know, plausible to you that giants would just be living all in DC, just chilling at the world capital? Do you think that DC would ever be the world capital? And also with the world capital, I noticed they didn't show Southeast DC. Oh yeah, we coming with another wonderful episode of Movie Reviews. And it's January 2018. We start to get into movies from last year that I didn't remark upon. One of the messages that I got was, of course, for Alien Covenant. And this movie has been out for quite some time, so we're gonna spoil this. It's already been available at home. So if you were not a theater person, you could have still seen it in the comforts of your own crib. So I'm gonna talk about what I liked, what I thought was cool, what kind of hurt a brother, and we're gonna get started with, of course, the search for a new planet. which, you know, it's always going on in films like this. You know, there's always some colony mission, and I'm down with that. And even in this, you know, in this film, the way they're searching, everything seems on the up and up. So for the smartness level of the humans in this, it seems like everything's all good. They're like, hey, we did our diagnostic tests for this planet, and you know, everything's fine, and you know, we got the people in the pods, and you know, everything is okay. You know what I'm saying? Everything is completely cool. Unfortunately, you know, with that wave, I can understand people not wanting to go back to sleep for like 7 more years. And when you juxtapose this search for a new Earth or for a new colony or whatever with the search for the creator from, you know, Waylon and of course the original David, or David, the original, I guess, android or the earlier model, you get this yearning for something new, to put your flag on something, to discover something, which I think is great, which is, I think, has always been a part of, you know, human characteristics and humanity, is to want to push yourself forward, to be better, to discover, to find something new. Kind of like Star Trek, you know, they're always looking for new lands. Now, at the same time, sometimes when you look for something, you find it, and some things you find might not be what you want. And I gotta give love to, and I can't remember her name right now because of course you're going blank when you're making a video. The young lady who's like, look, I know we saw this new planet, you know, it's kind of out of the blue, it looks perfect for us, but I think it is a bad idea. This is horrible, I don't wanna go there. And then the new captain, since of course the old captain died, he all like, look, he just wants a win. And I understand why he wants to win, because he feels, you know, he feels like nobody respects him, and you know, people don't want to go back to sleep, and you know, people are scared. But look, sometimes you just need to put your foot down and be like, look, y'all gonna have to go to bed. Cause see, if he would have did that, everybody would have been fine. Well, we also wouldn't have had a movie, but at least everybody would have been fine. You know, everybody would have been cool. They would have been alive, living their lives, chilling in a nice planet that everybody knew about, that everybody had tested and went through charts and graphs and, you know, smart things, okay? And they would have been fine, but no, don't know. And actually, this is the first time that we've seen, you know what? This is the first time we have seen a character get there, you were right, you know, like for the person that was wrong. Because of course, you know, when they were on the planet, he was like, you know, I'm sorry, you were right. You rarely get that in a movie. Usually those kind of people kind of take that to the grave, like, I ain't telling nobody nothing. But in this case, it was good. I mean, of course, it was kind of hollow, because I mean, there was like 4 or 5 people dead by that time. But at least we heard, you know, I'm sorry. Now, I'm gonna get to the carnage stuff in just a second, because that's what we are here for, man. Alien Covenant, that's what it's all about. We are here for the carnage. So, you know, we're gonna get to that, because we finished with this and all the people stuff is done. So now it's alien time. But of course, first, Kuro Brand, go help us pay them bills. Yeah, did you see your boy? Did you see him? I'm saying, did you see him? Go on and check that link below for curabrand.com. Hats, shirts, hoodies, all that good stuff. And once you see something you like, cop it. So now that we've gotten rid of all the, well, not rid of, but we've finished talking about all the people, let's talk about the aliens. This, well, besides one alien looking kind of weird CGI wise, the aliens look great, man. When it was really little, it looked kind of weird for a second when it was like wiggling around and stuff. But for the most part, man, these aliens look fantastic. They look scary. They look weird. And there's something about sci-fi that I say all the time. There's a part of sci-fi that should be weird. There's a part of sci-fi that should be strange and creepy even. And I think that the aliens in this film really do that well. We get to see kind of like a little bit of history of the planet, how the planet died, of course, because of David. And we get to see the evolution of kind of like the xenomorph, him trying to make it weird, trying to improve upon it, change it, evolve it, whatever, because he wanted to create his own thing. And creation is cool. You want to create, cool, create. But when you're creating something that literally kills for the sake of killing, because the aliens, when, you know, in any of these movies, when aliens kill, it's not like they eat anybody. And a lot of the times they don't even do it to like kind of like procreate, like put a little chest burster in you. They just be killing you just because, I don't know, because they bloodthirsty. So when you're creating something like that, it's not really a good look. But I have to give love to those graphics and those effects that looked just terrifying, especially when, you know, the shot from the trailer and in the movie when he's like the final xenomorph, the one that we know of with the double mouth, is like banging his head on the, you know, on the windshield or whatever. That's truly terrifying. So this movie really delivers on that terrifying kind of like, you know, kind of lost in space, dire situation. And you take that with the aliens, you take that with the Walter and David fight, which I thought was really cool. The flute scene was kind of weird. Like, wasn't it weird to y'all? But anyway, I thought the fight scene was cool. And I thought just the slow burn of this worked really well. Like, this movie was like, it was almost too long, but it was like just enough for us to get the characters and get them in their normal, regular setting, and then also get them being inquisitive, but kind of like cautiously optimistic because something's off with this planet. And then of course, being completely terrified and like, we got to go. And you put all that together with the darkness in the scenes, people being scared, people being terrified, the aliens chasing people down, and of course, seeing our first egg and chest burster. I've got to say that this movie is quite solid. I enjoyed it a lot, and I'm gonna go in and give this joint straight up 4 stars. And honestly, I was gonna give this joint 3.5 stars, but after watching this, for me, I don't know about you guys, but, and not all of the movie, but a lot of this film did a good job of redeeming a lot of Prometheus for me. Now, Prometheus is still very long, I think longer than it should be. And there's a lot, just the people were just dumb in that movie. But I feel in this movie, the people were generally smarter. I feel like this was a tighter movie for some reason. And maybe it was just me, you know, watching this after some time with Prometheus, and maybe it was just since it was such a step up. But a lot of this helps me look at Prometheus in a better light. So the fact that this movie is solid, the fact that this movie makes me look at the movie before it and say, you know what, I can kind of see, you know, if you look at it as David's story, I like it a lot more. And I have to say that this movie was definitely some top quality stuff. So guys, holler at me. I'm gonna holler at you. Down in them comments, let's talk about Alien Covenant. I don't know if we're getting another one because I can't remember any news about Alien. I don't know if Alien Covenant did well enough for them to announce a sequel, but if they do, I'll definitely be down for it. So, and today we are talking about the final chapter and trailers, of course, of Black Panther. And before I get to all of the, like, the beauty in this trailer, I want to talk about why it's so beautiful, because I was online with a couple of people saying, you know, they don't understand the outpouring and the outcry, and you know is any Marvel movie. But this movie is historic for a couple of reasons. As a black man, as someone who is black in this country, I have dealt with tons of images in media that place me beneath what people would consider good, positive, as striking, or as boundless, or heroic. Every time I had seen myself on screen, when it was, you know, it had to be like the jail episode, or they're going to the gang episode, or is someone being put in jail, or someone being chased down for doing something wrong. And this movie doesn't show me in that light. Also, in our media, we have been shown that people that are lighter skin tone were somehow better than people that were of darker skin tone, just by virtue of being that. In this film, we see people of all hues, but most importantly, people of darker hues, and heroic, and amazing, in magnanimous and fantastical positions where they are just standing on their own without the need of any help. And speaking of that help, what I mean by help is, in many forms of media, when there is someone who looks like me that is doing well, the only way they could have done well or been set free or put on the right path is because there has been a white character that has led the way or has opened the door for them or brought them out of whatever that situation is. A lot of people might call it the white savior syndrome. Or if you see me on, or someone like me on a screen, they're the what they call the mystical black person that, you know, comes in and gives the right information, and then the white character can code save the day. But this film is not that. This film does not commoditize black women. This film does not demonize black men. You see kings, queens, princes, princesses, royalty, and warriors on the screen. Noble people on screen. And the most important part is that these people on screen are not, I guess allowed to be so or allowed to do so because a white character showed them the way. And that power, that strength on the screen with this large a budget is historic. It's never been done before, and this is a beautiful thing to see. So now let's get to the trailer. I love seeing more scenes of the fight when he jumps down on that crew at night with the Jeeps. And I love how he just throws the whole door at the dude behind him. And like, just, it's crazy, his strength, his speed. I love seeing the family around him. And just hearing that Black Panther lives, that, you know, that statement alone is a beautiful statement when you see the ornate world that they're living in. Also, I love seeing Angela Bassett because she looks so unique in this film as the, you know, as the Queen Mother. She just looks so unique, and I'm just so ready to get, you know, that knowledge and wisdom from her character. And it's a beautiful thing to see not only her placed and position perfectly, but also T'Challa's sister and their attitude. And it's beautiful to see the Black family on screen in such a positive way. Also, we get a new villain. Well, not really new. Claw's been around for a while, but we get to see new shots of Claw. And I think they're setting him up to be a very long-term villain for Black Panther. The way he's in that room, the way he gets under his skin when he's behind the double pane glass or whatever, like, he's really inside T'Challa's head, where T'Challa hates that guy, all right? He truly hates that guy. And I believe that they're setting him up for a long-term villain, and that's something that I love, because long-term villains is something that, you know, can help a character grow. Because, you know, maybe the villain can win and then he can win, and then sometimes there's a stalemate and, you know, things like that. But there's always that ongoing struggle and battle between, like, the chess match that, you know, a hero and a long-term villain will play. Now, there's some other cool stuff that I really want to get into, because Claw is crazy good. And so is, you know, the look of this world is incredible. But of course, you know, I love y'all's support, but, you know, Kuro Brand, you're going to help us pay them bills. Yeah, that's right. Check out yourself a shirt, hat, hoodie, all that good stuff at the link below for KuroBrand.com. And once you see something you like, cop it. Now, one thing I want to get into is the, I guess you could say the battle at the waterfall, I guess you could say. I don't really have a technical term for it, but it looks like this is going to be kind of like a training montage, because it doesn't look, at least now that I've seen it a couple times in a couple trailers, it doesn't look like everybody's fighting. It just looks kind of like they're standing around and watching. Maybe this might be a rites of passage thing, but I just love even the way this is shot. It just shows such a community. Like, this is a larger world. It almost shows like Wakanda is its own world, you know, aside from whatever's going on. And I mean, we know that, of course, but there's just so much. It's just so much life inside of it, you know, from the, you know, the trains that are going by, from the people on the streets. And even in this battle, you see like the people standing around and they're all engaged in what's going on. But of course, who would I be to not mention Michael B. Jordan? Yo, he is killing it in this role, and he definitely has an axe to grind with T'Challa. And the whole, you know, war is coming, the whole like, I want it all. I like that, because to have someone who, at least from my opinion, it looks like he feels slighted. To have someone like that, they really bring their A game, because when you feel that you've been slighted, you want what you're due and a little bit more. And that little bit more is shown in like explosions and these, and the like spacecraft wrecks and these fight sequences. And just, there is so much that I think we're gonna see that I think, you know how trailers usually give away like the whole film? I honestly think this trailer hasn't shown us like nothing compared to what we're about to see. And that's why I'm so excited, on top of what we got at the top of the show. So guys, I never thought I would see this. And even when I knew it was coming, I never thought that it would be like this. So people, holla at me. I'm gonna holla at you. Down in them comments, let's talk about the final trailer of Black Panther. I'm so excited. I am so elated. I cannot wait picking up them tickets, opening night, second night, third night, 10th night, I don't know, all the nights. Look, I just can't wait to see Black Panther. Of course, guys, holla at me if y'all gonna be in the LA area. Maybe I can see it in one of your screenings. But before I bounce, of course, I'm gonna say, thatnerdsoul.com is where you need to go to check out all my videos from the oldest, newest, latest, greatest, and all that. Then hit up shop.thatnerdsoul.com and pick yourself up a t-shirt player. And don't forget to get one for them playettes. Then come back here, like, comment, subscribe, and share that Nerd Soul. Don't forget, yo, be good to yourselves and be good to each other. And remember, just because you're coming at the throne don't mean you can handle the throne. Peace.